This is in Colossians chapter 1. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Here ends this reading.
Our next reading this evening is from Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him.
God's grace, his mercy, and his peace to you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the past Wednesdays, we have been gathering on Zoom. We have been gathering and talking about a rather simple but yet hard topic. How do you confess what you believe in 7 words or less? How do you confess what you hold on to in the face of everything around you? And how do you share that good news with those that believe and those that don't? How do you share that good news with yourself? Well, tonight as we gather on Good Friday, tonight as we gather, if you do not know it, one of the earliest Christian creeds, the earliest ways of saying the faith that we hold to, that we see in Scripture, is less than 7 words. And it is as simple as saying, Jesus is Lord. This is part of what Paul says when he confesses, if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. But yet, when we think about Jesus being Lord, what does that actually mean to us? Because it can be quite easy just to say Jesus is Lord, but yet how easy is it to say he is Lord throughout our day-to-day life? We can ask the question and be kind of tongue-in-cheek, is he Lord while you're going down the grocery aisle? Is he Lord while you fill out your tax forms? Is Jesus Lord while you go and lay your head down to rest when everything is green and everything is blooming? Sadly, these are the times where it is easy to say Jesus is Lord. But if we're honest with ourselves, we might say it, but what does it actually mean for us? What does it actually mean, and what do we get down to when we get down to the honest truth of what we're saying and confessing that Jesus is Lord? Because while it might be easy, tonight we are reminded that saying Jesus is Lord is more than just a statement that we say. It is a victory cry. It is a victory cry that we see in the most unexpected way that no one could ever imagine. For tonight, we see a battle of wills that we know the outcome of. Tonight, we see something of great cosmic impact that we would never have imagined. For we see that Jesus is Lord not when everything is green and wonderful. We see that we have a Lord that has won for you through a cross, through blood, sweat, tears, and death itself. Tonight we have a Lord who that while on the surface seems like he is losing, whether that be through the political powers that were at play 2,000 years ago, whether that be through the whips that were there, through the spear that pierced him, whether it be through the abandonment that was there, tonight we see that he is Lord and that he has won. Tonight, as we gather, we see that he is Lord who has outwitted, outmatched, and has victory over the Lord of this world. Because, sadly, we too often look around us and see the victory, whether we admit it or not, going to the Lord of this world and of this age. Sadly, whether we want to admit it or not, we too often admit the claim that the Lord of this age has over us. That we look around us and we look and say, whether it be the devil, ourselves, or the sinful desires that we have, that those are Lord. And that is exactly the victory that tonight we gather in, saying, it is not the Lord that is the one who has claim over me and over you. Tonight we gather hearing that is not the truth that is there. Tonight we gather saying that no matter how uncomfortable this night might feel, we have one who has claimed you. And he has shown that even when death seems to have won, he is the victor. He is the solid ground that we can stand on as we have been working through covenants and promises of our Lord. He is the one that even when death brings its mightiest foe, he stands there and shows that he has won and that it is finished. Because tonight, we stand seeing that he is not just the Lord when everything is golden. He is not just the Lord of our hosannas and our praises. He is the one that is there for us when we are facing death, when we are facing despair, when we say we have nothing left and we are separated. This week, I was able to lead a few Bible studies at care facilities, and the tears as we worked through Holy Week, going from Hosanna to Easter as they rejoiced but yet cried for the separation of those that they cannot see, whether it be because loved ones don't visit, loved ones are on the other side of the state, or loved ones are gone on into glory. Tonight, we are reminded as we have a Lord who went to a cross and was separated even from those who cared for him, that even separation is no match for the Lord that we have. That he is Lord when we are separated from all those we care about. That he is Lord when we are humiliated and humbled and bent down with nothing to offer. Because we see that he is Lord when he is at his lowest. That is where we can see the glory of the love that our Father has for us by sending his Son, who became a servant to all on a cross. This is what we say when we say Jesus is Lord. This is what we get to rejoice in as we prepare for our celebration with Easter, that Jesus proclaims that what he came to do was for you as well. And that is the glorious news, that tonight when we hear it is finished and we know that he went into a tomb, that death was a death for you as well, that he died once for all so that you know that not even death has victory over him, and that is where he shows he is Lord even over death. For we proclaim Jesus is Lord even when we are facing death, disease, illness, and not knowing what is ahead of us. Because Paul even says that he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness, transferring us into his kingdom of his beloved Son, he says in Colossians. And so we hear in Galatians that we have been crucified in him. And so it is not just an easy statement to say that Jesus is Lord. It is not just a statement that we draw together and write down and say, he is Lord, amen. It is one where we give it all over to him. And tonight we look, pausing and reflecting on that good news that he is Lord, no matter what the kingdom of darkness might throw at him. That at the end he says, it is finished. And that is the victory that we needed. In his name. Amen.